New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get two snack wraps plus fries and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Ferrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Ferrell Appalachian, right across the river through the woods from where Granny's in the hospital. She's been there for 2 days. She told me to stop by and bring her a couple of togs out of Mountain Shadows in New York City, the Big Apple. People dressed in plastic bags, the bread to drive in some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do be all my friends that come around, flats and flats of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, but a mess, this town's a town, and my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake it. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Ferrell. Mafia's running it on a Thursday night, a Field of Dreams night in Iowa, and the White Sox lead it 7-4 in the eighth now. They'll go to the top half of the eighth, and the Yankees are at the top half batting. So we'll see. I think they're going to the White Sox are going to bring in Kimbrel and see what kind of damage he can do. A lot of action in this game. Abreu homered first for the White Sox to make it 1-0. Judge all rise with a bomb to right into the cornfield. And it was 3-1, a three-run shot. And then Anderson doubled to left, scoring Engel in the third to make it 3-2. The White Sox were down a run. But then Jimenez homered to right, a three-run shot. That made it 5-3 White Sox. Then Zavala, the catcher, homers to right, a two-run shot. It was 7-3. And then a Gardy party, the home run to right field for Gardner, his second hit of the game, and surprising home run. Lots of homers in this game tonight. I think five home runs. So it's been exciting for fans, for sure. I thought it was really cool. The whole Kevin Costner angle, him coming out and asking if this was heaven. And after they introduced all the players, it was really awesome. I thought the entire production was cool. Obviously, we've never seen it before. It's the first time they've ever been able to do it. It got scrapped because of the COVID last year. Now they're going to do it again. I guess next year they're going to do it again. Maybe they're going to do it every year moving forward. The ballpark is really phenomenal when you think about it. It's not really the field that they actually film the movie on. There's two baseball diamonds there. And the other one where all the like people and fans were playing. There was like a lot of people out on this baseball field hitting balls, playing catch, running around, and kids and everything. And that's the actual ballpark where they filmed the movie. This ballpark, I think, unless I'm mistaken, baseball, MLB, put this thing together. And they did a terrific job. The stadium's really cool. The fans, it sold out. Not many fans, like 3,000, something like that. I don't even know. I could be wrong. But I just thought, you know, obviously the tickets were very expensive. But I just thought the whole thing was a trip. I mean, seeing them walking out of the corn onto the field just like the movie, it was crazy. Kimbrel showing up the umpire right now. He threw a pitch that he thought was a strike to get Giancarlo Stanton to strike out, and the ump called it a ball, and he just literally walked off the mound and gave him the business, turned his back, did a giant circle. But the White Sox are up 3 runs. I bet on the White Sox tonight in this game. And I said on Coast to Coast today, I wouldn't be surprised if the Yankees won, though, because of how hot they've been. They're going to go, not to play tomorrow, but Saturday and Sunday on the south side of Chicago. So you get one out, Stanton grounded out. How crazy is that scene there with the, you know, when it started, it was like late evening and the sun was still up. The clouds were thin. The sun was out. It was steamy. And then you just see miles and miles of cornfields. And then in the middle of nowhere, there's this, there's like a maze. There's a baseball field where people are running around. And then there's this major league stadium. They've turned this barn into a place you can buy memorabilia and jerseys. It's crazy. It's for all an event.
May or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever gotten rabies from trying to get a fresh rabbit's foot, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, for all on a bench. So in the eighth, two outs, Yankees still down 7-4. Kimbrel basically making easy work of them. You know, I've been watching this game all night and keeping an eye on it. And more importantly, the wild card race in the American League has the Yankees 1.5 back of Boston, and the A's and Red Sox have the two spots. The Yankees are next at 1.5. They'll go to 2 and be tied with Toronto at 2 games back. And the bottom line is Toronto, despite all the talk of the Yankees winning 9 of their last 10 series and being the hottest team in baseball, whatever it is, 21 or 30, whatever they've won, they have the Blue Jays to deal with as well, who've won 8 of 10 and 2 in a row. And they've been equally as impressive. And now you got both of these teams 2 games back at that wild card. And that's a dangerous team when you think about it. I mean, they're playing the Angels right now and facing Ohtani, bottom of the second in Anaheim, no score there. But, I mean, what a team. Guerrero hitting .311 with 35 home runs, 88 RBIs. He'll easily go over 100 and then some. His on-base percentage, .405. Bichette leads the team with 130 hits. I mean, they got all kinds of guys producing. Simeon, 26 home runs and 69 RBIs. Bichette, 20 home runs and 77 RBIs. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Hernandez, the right fielder, 18 home runs, 77 RBIs. Grychuk, the center fielder, 19 home runs, 69 RBIs. Gurriel, 13 homers, 48 RBIs. Bottom line is, Biggio has missed so many games. He's only played in 77 games, so his numbers are awful. Springer's only played in 46 games. There's no doubt Springer can ball. He's got 16 home runs and 35 RBIs. Not bad for a guy that never plays when you think about it. But that team is no joke. I'm telling you, that lineup of theirs is obviously a problem for pitchers to get past them. And I can't wait to see if the Yankees and Jays can catch the Red Sox. I mean, they lost again today. They're 3-7 in their last 10. They had lost 10 of 12. Then they won a game. So it's like, I mean, it's been nothing but bad baseball. The only good game they played in the last 3 weeks is that 20-8 job last night. Then they turned right around and lost today to the to the Rays, and it was 8-1. So, I mean, it's crazy. Wander Franco hit a two-run homer in the sixth, and Drew Rasmussen threw four strong innings in a spot start for the Rays, and they added to their lead in the East. Hauk took the loss for Boston. He's 0-3. He just can't get any luck at all. And then, obviously, when you look at the wild card in the National League, it's the Dodgers and Padres. The Dodgers comfortably numb, 3.5 games ahead of the Padres, and they're 4 games ahead of the Reds and 6 in front of the Mets, 6.5 in front of the Braves. The Braves tied for first last night and then lost today. So they find themselves a game out again when they, you know, it was just a bad day. Bottom line, because the Phillies beat the Dodgers and they lost. So they were tied as of last night with a, you know, Albies walk-off 3-run homer. They move into a tie for first, and then by tonight they're a game out. But they lost today to the Reds. They got smoked 12-3. We're going to talk to Chris Domino from The Fan in Atlanta coming up on the show and get the lowdown on how they've done it without Acuna, how they've gotten back in the East race, how they got to first place and then slipped and fell down on their face a day later to find themselves a game out. But, and I got to tell you this much, at the very least, the Mets had a great day. They swept 2 from the Nats in a doubleheader. So, I mean, when they lost the lead in the East over the weekend to the Phillies in Philadelphia, everybody wrote them off instantaneously, but now they've jumped ahead of the Braves again to find themselves a half game out of first. So they save face, Mafia, by winning the 2 games from the Nationals. Pete Alonso with a walk-off home run in the first game. The first game was the makeup from the rain yesterday, and then the second game he hit the walk-off to win it 5-4 at Citi Field. Those were huge wins for the Mets, Moff.
Yeah, they absolutely were, and you know, it still feels weird to say walk-off, you know, home run in the seventh inning, but you know, that's the way we live right now. But it was huge games for them. They needed those. It was, you know, the way the whole series was screwed up, the way that the, you know, they had a game rained out on Tuesday, pushed off to Wednesday, that was, you know, suspended, pushed off. And then you get that one in, and then the one that's supposed to be Wednesday gets pushed off the Thursday of the doubleheader. So, you know, good job by them to rally and get the wins in the last 3 of the 4 games. They really need those, you know, and that's the games you have to win against a team like Washington. It's bad enough that you just lost to Philly, you know, lost the lead to them, the Atlanta right there. But when you get a chance to beat up on the worst team in the division, or one of the worst teams, I guess Florida, Miami might be worse than them technically. But, you know, when you got a team that's down like Washington, take advantage of it, and they did, and that's what they need to do, and they need to get back on track after a series like that.
Well, they got swept by the Phillies. Then they swept the Nationals in between a rainout. Then they had the double dip today. They went 4-1 and 5-4. Now they have the Dodgers coming to Citi Field this weekend in the blazing heat of New York. It's 100 degrees here. And, I mean, the bottom line is these are gigantic games. On Friday night, Urias 13-3 against McGill, whoever the hell that is. But Urias has been unbelievable. He's starting to get in, winning numbers where he's in the conversation now all of a sudden, frankly, for, Cy Young. And then on Saturday, it's Buehler 12-2, also in the Cy Young talk, obviously, against Tawan Walker. That'll be a great game. That's at night as well. They're playing that at night. And then on Sunday, they wrap it up with Scherzer and Carrasco. How great is that going to be? That's going to be a hell of a matchup. So Scherzer has looked really good for the Dodgers in his first game at Dodger Stadium. He won. His second start was, out east and got rained out, so he wasn't able to finish that game. So you're going to see him at Citi Field on Sunday, so that's going to be a hell of a series. They can't afford the Mets to screw this series up. They need to, frankly, win two or three. I'm not sure they can do that. I my feeling is that Dodgers are clearly better than the Mets, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Dodgers took two of three or swept the series. But we'll see. We'll see if the Mets can hang with them. I think it's going to be a good series at Citi. They got their ass beat. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
All right, Pharrell and Abans, the Steelers just checked in. 24-16, they beat the Eagles in Philadelphia. Nice little double cover on the preseason, not that it matters. And then right now, Washington is on a 12-play, 75-yard drive. They've got the ball at the New England 17, first and now down to the 9. They're moving in. Montez with a short pass to Williams. They're at the Pats 9, an 8-yard play, trying to score, go for two, and tie it up with the Patriots in Foxborough. We'll keep our eyes on that. Chris Domino is on the fan in Atlanta, and he's on the bench. I wanted to talk to him about a lot of stuff tonight. Chris, hope you're doing well. Let's talk with the first here at bat with the Braves on the tip of my tongue, because I've been talking about him a little bit at the start of the show tonight. About how great last night went with the Albies walk-off homer. You move into first place tie with the Phillies. Snickers done a great job with a team with all kinds of problems. No Acuna, you name it. They've had a ton of other injuries. And then here they are in first, and then they slip in the kitchen on the water and lose, get their ass beat today, and then the Phillies turn around and beat the Dodgers 2-1. So they find themselves not only a game out, but the Mets jumped them because they took two from the Nats. That was a crazy basic 24 hours.
Yeah, so the good news is they've actually had more life. You know, it's going to be a 50-game sprint to the finish. And really what had to happen, Scott, and about 2 weeks ago it hit me. Everybody around here was relying on the idea, well, the Phillies aren't good and the Mets aren't good, and at times they're worse than that. You know, but I just kind of, I don't know what hit me one night. I just came on the air the next day and said, you know, you can only get so far relying on the other guy to stink. And at a certain point, they're going to have to wipe their own ass and really play better baseball than they did for 100 games. They were an okay baseball team, no better, flawed. Bang up here, bang up there, but nobody cares about your injuries. longest winning streak of the year has been 4 games. They hadn't had an 8-2 in 10. And you don't usually win a division in baseball unless you have at least a couple of 3 of those. So they hadn't had one, still haven't had one. So the idea that they had to get better, here comes the trade deadline, and instead of a big bop, instead of a big name, it was pieces. And Soler comes over and he plays well. And you redo your outfield. An outfield with Adam Duvall was second or third in RBIs in the National League, so his run production is great. And all of a sudden you look around and you go, okay, the lineup is longer. The lineup is a lot more dangerous. And instead of the nonsense we have been seeing at 7, 8, 9, when you include pitchers and pinch hitters, I can't get to the top of my lineup. It's just we can't roll it over to a fifth at bat. Now it's possible to do that on some nights. They got kicked in the teeth today. It was a bad pitching matchup. Cincinnati's a good offensive team. They jumped on a kid who had no control. Josh Tomlin, who I'm not really sure how many years he's been in the league. You know, that was a bloodletting. It's done. Put it away. I think the best thing about this team now as a fan is each day is its own separate entity. Do not think that one day is going to sort of give you an idea of what's going to happen the next. And as long as I think that way, the next 47 games are going to be okay.
Well, I mean, one of the advantages they have is right now, if you ask me, is their schedule from now until the 22nd, because they're playing the Nationals in D.C. starting tomorrow. Then they go to Miami. Then they go to Baltimore, 3-3-3. And those 9 games, they have to win, in my view, 7 of them, because those 3 teams absolutely suck.
So I get it. And believe me, gambler's mentality, you know, 9-game stretches, 3-3-game series. The problem with this team, Scott, has been that we just keep moving a goalpost. You know, it was this, well, there's 8 games against these 2 teams, 4-game series. That's going to tell us everything. Then it was 6 games on the road. That'll tell us everything. And I just think, and while I understand what you're saying, no doubt about it, they have to prove they're better baseball teams than these teams. And on paper, they are. But I'm telling you, 12-2 turns into 2-1. And all of a sudden you go, how in a 24-hour period is this the same baseball team? So I'm actually now into that sort of BS that you hear all the time. 1 today, that's the only one that matters. You'll get to tomorrow, and that'll be the only one that matters. Because I think every time we've tried to say, let's look at a block of games and figure out what they have to be, none of it plays that way. None of it. I'm telling you, the goalpost has been moved like 7 different times. If they don't do this, it's over. If they don't do this, they should sell. Oh, wait, they might do this, they should buy. And I'm telling you, day to day, I'm done driving myself crazy. I've resigned myself to the fact that they're an okay baseball team. That's what they are. They're not the Dodgers. They're not San Francisco. They're not Tampa. They're not one of those teams where I go, oh, you know what they're going to do tonight? They're going to kick you down a flight of steps. And you know what they're going to do tomorrow night? They're going to kick down another flight of steps. This team is not built like that. It's better now, no doubt about it. It feels better now, not just because they were winning, but because there's something a little bit different about the makeup. But I'm not going in a 9-game block. It's not worth it, because if you lose 2 of the first 5, then you go, okay, we got to be perfect for the next 2. And I just don't think it really works that way. It's not a good mentality as a fan to think of this team that way this year.
Well, fair enough. But I mean, so the Cubs and the Nationals sold their entire team. And right. Ever since, they like can't win a game. I mean, they're pathetic. I saw the Nationals get swept today in a doubleheader. I saw the Cubs give up 150 runs to the Brewers. The Orioles can't get out of their own way. And I saw the Marlins are a disaster. They're one of the worst teams in baseball. So if they don't kick their ass and take names in these games on the road, then they're not going to win the East. Bottom line, because at the end of the day, I think it's going to come down to, and I'm probably crazy, but that Philadelphia 3-game set with the Braves,
yeah,
in the last weekend of the season, to me, with 6 weeks left, it just stares at you and says, here's where it's going to be decided, right here in Atlanta against that team. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Mets will turn it around. but they've been anemic for weeks now. I couldn't even believe that they won a doubleheader today and Alonso hit the home run. But I think the Braves, you can't deny that as bad as they've been and as many problems that they've had, Chris, that you got to be at least somewhat surprised that last night they were sitting in first place tied. I mean, you got to give them credit for at least that.
And I'm giving them a ton of credit. Look, the idea that they didn't totally sink, you know, there's no rock tied to their leg because of the division they play in. They can actually tread water. I think we're talking about the same stuff. I'm giving them credit to not get above 500 for close to 100 games. And then all of a sudden you look up, you're in first. Right. You did enough to get there because you played better baseball, but you needed help. You know, it's the infamous real estate. It's about location, location, location this year. This team's in the right division. Here's what's crazy. You just shot ahead to the next to last series of the season. Do I get Charlie Morton? Do I get the good Drew Smiley? Do I get Max Fried, who's on a roll or can be on a roll in one of those nights? You might not have those three guys pitching in that series. Like, that's the crazy thing. Can you play the game of trying to set up to play that series with your three best? Or do you need to win the two before that and you can't do it? I think it's going to come down to that. I don't think the Mets are completely dead because I think if they get Lindor back and if Baez comes back, I think offensively they're going to do enough stuff they haven't done. You can't be this anemic, and it's a great word. You can't be this anemic for 162. I think for them, they've got the same 40-plus games. I will bet you that Philadelphia, the Mets, and the Braves all have 2 7-3s in them, two of them. And it's going to be losing to Baltimore, losing to somebody, you know, Miami, that could do you in, but I don't think it guarantees that it does you in. I just don't. I don't think there's any series that I'm going to look at and go, they win it or lose it, because I'm telling you, Scott, around here, people tried to do that for the 3 weeks leading up to the trade deadline, and none of it worked. It was like having a winning hand, and all of a sudden you go, what just happened? Like, well, where did you get that from? Somebody's flipping a full house on you. You go, it's impossible. Didn't see it coming. There's nothing that's been telegraphed about this baseball season in the National League East. Nothing.
Wow. And I'll tell you what, I didn't even realize that because I thought that it was the last weekend. I was talking to a guy in Philadelphia today about the Phillies and the Braves. And I was like, boy, that last series is in Atlanta. I think it'll come down to that. And then you just woke me up to the fact that they still got to play the Mets on the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but at least those games are in Atlanta as well. I got to tell you the truth. And we're going to break, come back, and finish this conversation and talk about the Falcons and talk about the Hawks. But I do want to say that, like, when Acuna went down, I was like, I mean, he's such a badass. I'm like, they're done. I mean, they are done. I was like, you can't lose that guy and expect to do anything. So I am stunned that they have done this without him. We'll be right back on the bench.
May or may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Test yourself. If you've ever looked through a bag of grass clippings looking for a four-leaf clover, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Perel on the bench. Aaron Judge just hit a two-run shot with two outs in the ninth to dead center, a bomb, his second of the game, 25th of the season, off of Liam Hendricks, who was throwing 98-mile-an-hour BBs, and Judge blasted this ball, and then Gallo comes up and walks. Now they have a runner at first. Gallo is just awful, too. He's over three until he got the walk, right? And then he's on first now. But every time he was up tonight, he's just awful. And since he's come to the Yankees, he hit one home run on that moonshot to the short porch at Yankee Stadium that night, like a week and a half ago. And literally, he's hit like about a buck 20 his entire time since they got him. And then, meanwhile, Rizzo was tearing it up until he got the COVID. But this game tonight's been wild in Iowa, in the Field of Dreams game. A lot of home runs, big star home runs, and Judge, two of them. I mean, just absolute rockets he hit out. A three-run shot and a two-run shot. He's got five RBIs out of six runs. And one other note, the Patriots won the game 22-13 over Washington. And Ramondre Stevenson, a 91-yard rush after Washington failed on the two-point conversion. They kick off first play, I think. Stevenson goes 91 yards, and that's all she wrote. Pats win it 22-13 over Washington. I gave you the Steeler game before. We're talking to Chris. Now look at this. Giancarlo Stanton. Home run. The Yankees take the lead. 8-7. Oh, my God. Stanton just lit up. Hendricks with a bomb to left over the wall. And the Yankees take the lead. They were down 7-4 with two outs. And they have the lead now, 8-7. What a crazy inning. And Stanton, the big names coming out. Judge and Stanton, the big money players, big game players, come up big in the ninth against the star closer, Hendricks, throwing gas, and he gets lit up. Too many interviews during the game with Joe Buck, I guess. Sorry, Chris Domino's on there going like, am I supposed to be talking to Pharrell? Anyway, all this crazy stuff happened, Chris, you got to admit. So take me back to the conversation where I said Acuna, when they lost him, what was the reaction in Atlanta when he blew out his knee and, like, you went on the air and you had to figure out what the hell was going to happen with the fallout?
2022. Because you were under 500 with him the entire time, the entire year. For those who don't know, it literally took till game whatever it was, 198, to get over, one game over 500. And that's when you had Ronald Acuna for a whole bunch of those. So, yeah, I think there was this idea that, well, there goes that. And the idea of last year trying to get it back, what you were up 3-1 against the Dodgers, it wasn't going to happen. You know, you're going to have to wait till 2022. You're going to have to figure out, is Freddie Freeman's deal going to get done? Is there going to be a universal DH, and what are we going to do there? It's funny you mentioned Gallo, because his name had certainly been talked about coming to the Braves. But Soler and Adam Duvall have been so much better than Gallo's been in New York. Both of them have been. You're 2-for-2. As opposed to what Gallo's doing in New York. So run production, you were going to try to figure out, where am I going to get run production from? And it is kind of crazy. I like the Braves in the division because I think Morton and Smiley down a stretch could be as good. Wheeler's in another planet. Morton, I think, is a September, October guy. So I'll take the Braves front two. But I think the Braves have more run producers. So Lara all of a sudden figured out that trying to be a guy who swings out of his shoes every AB is not going to pay the bills after this as he hits free agency. That guy had 48 and 117 sticks 2 years ago. He was hitting 193 when he got here from Kansas City. He figured out, well, that's not really going to get me paid. It's not a great way to actually impress other people. And Adam Duvall, like we said, if you're in the top three in RBI in the league, you're a run producer. And then when you're throwing Freeman, you're throwing Dansby, you're throwing what Ozzie Albies can do, ridiculous power for a little guy. I think the more consistent run producers in Atlanta, while it has been up and down, gives them the edge in the last 6 weeks of the season. I actually think they win this division. But they have to win it on their own. I don't want it. I'll take backing into something. That's like an NFL thing. You backed into the playoffs. I don't believe it. You're either in the playoffs or you're not. But I do think they have to make sure that they do it themselves and don't rely on those teams not being good the rest of the way.
Yeah, and I think that obviously the Phillies have pitching and Wheeler and Nola and more than that. And then they have Harper and they, you know, they got to get their guys in there, Real Muto. They got to get Hoskins back. They got to get all of their bats going. But that's a dangerous staff and bats as well. So it's going to be great. Let's shift gears now. Obviously, Georgia is going to be better than the Falcons. I mean, and everybody knows it. We already know how good Kirby's teams are. They're right on the cusp. Can they push it and go over the edge and take it to the next level? Or will they continue to end up the bridesmaid?
So it's 5 years in. And I think it's 52-13, and there's been no problems. You brought Kirby in to do this. They win the recruiting wars, no doubt about it. Top five, top three, one, two. So that part's done. You know, he's got that capability. I think we're at the point now where this season, you don't want to say championship or bust, but they better find themselves in the Final Four or else people are going to start saying, okay, was it the Clemson game? Was it Clemson in Florida? Was it Clemson in Auburn? You can lose to Clemson and still, that's not problematic. Not with the SEC schedule. By winning the SEC championship, you're going to be in the Final Four if Clemson's the only blemish that you have. I think people are a little bit more nervous than they were hoping they were going to be about the other game. You know, what's the other one? Is it going to be one of those where you go, you know what? You'll be favored in every game. I do think after Clemson, especially if they play them close, Georgia will be favored in every game. But I think around here people are like, okay, what's the biggest game? Well, it might be the Florida game because it's a rivalry game, but it might be the Auburn game. I think people are more nervous than they thought they were going to be at this point. Will they find another hiccup? And then will it be, okay, they've been exposed. Now I know for sure they're not going to beat Alabama even if they get to the SEC championship. So it's not the Clemson game. The Clemson game is for fun. That's TV. That's the ACC versus SEC. That's all that grander stuff around it to open up the season. It doesn't really dictate what the season's going to be. But if they lose the second game, there are going to be whispers about why can't they win the game that they're supposed to at some point in the season. They've lost that game every year under Kirby. They've lost one of those games every year. I think people at 6 years are going to be a little bit tired of that. And whether it's fair or unfair, that stench that sort of surrounds, well, they're better, but they're just not as good as. And I think that's going to be bothersome around here.
The stench.
It does get stenchy. It sticks to you too.
It does. But you like of those games, the Auburn game and the Florida game, which one's the garbage landfill stench game?
It's Florida, because it's just,
right.
Yeah. It's, I think it's Florida. I think you cannot lose to Florida this year. Because JT Daniels, and by the way, if you really look, he didn't play very good defenses last year when they went on their better roll. I think Florida's going to be the one this year that determines whether they win not only the East, but if people around here think they might be able to beat Alabama.
All right, so let me ask you two more questions. One is, what's it like seeing Julio Jones leave there?
Yeah.
And, I mean, what is left in the aftermath of that with the Falcons? Like, is anyone buying the Falcons at all? Like, I haven't heard one person say one word about the Atlanta Falcons. It's almost like they don't exist.
Well, they got a coach who's not looking to make headlines by quotes. He's not a T-shirt guy. Arthur Smith is pretty close to the vest, the general manager to me. I don't want to hear from a GM once we get to preseason games because I think his work is done. He's got more personality than Smith, but nobody really wants to hear from him. Scotty, can I tell you, I'm happy Julio's gone. And I'm on the record for the last couple of years. Thomas Dimitroff, who we both know and really like, and I spoke to him last night. I think what they did with Julio, ripping up the contract with 3 years, then ripping up the contract with 2 years, watching him tap on his helmet. By the way, I don't even know how many – has he had two practices with Tennessee where he's actually practiced? It was over here. It was over. I can lose without you. I've been 7-9 with you. I can lose without you. I'm happy he's gone. I understand what talent walked out the door. I get it, but I'm tired. I'm tired of people talking about Julio Jones. Tired of it. I'm sick and tired of it. He's got one 10-touchdown season in his career. That's it. There are guys around the NFL, you go, that guy's got two of those. That guy's got three of those. So the contract stuff, yeah, I want to be traded, whether he doesn't think Matt has a big enough arm, whether he – I don't care what it was. Like, everybody was trying to do the psych 101 thing on Julio. It's done. I've been 7-9 I'm losing with him. I don't need him around anymore. It doesn't make you a better team, but I'm kind of just fed up of, well, you know, at least we have Julio. You got nothing when you're 7-9. You have nothing in the NFL when you're 7-9. The reason people aren't talking about him, there's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of questions. You know, Pitts is really interesting as the number 4 overall pick. I think I'll make a bet with you right now. Do you know that Mike Ditka still holds the rookie tight end touchdown record in the NFL? This seems impossible that nobody since Mike Ditka has actually had. I think it might be 10. I think Pitts is going to go for 8 this year, and I think you'll do. We were talking about Ronald Acuna. How do you make up for Julio? How do you make up for Ronald? You have two or three guys do it. And I think between Ridley, Pitts, and Hayden Hurst, the other tight end, I think they're going to be fine. I don't think they score fewer touchdowns this year without Julio than they did with him. That's my bet. They don't score one fewer touchdown with Julio Jones gone.
Well, I can't wait to see Pitts play. Let me ask you lastly about the Hawks. After that great run, they gave all that money to Trey Young and don't call me Tom Collins. John Collins got all that money. And then now they're going to try to deal with Kevin Huerter. So tell me what you think of – I'm not surprised they gave Young all the money. What's your reaction to the Collins deal and how much money's left for Huerter? Because I thought Huerter played like a badass for them.
Yeah, they sort of set it up where not everybody was going to be able to go sit at the adult table when it came to the contracts, but they got two of them done. So if I'm Huerter, I'm going, hey, does that mean me? I like it. I want them to run it back. I really want them to run it back. I couldn't find better than John Collins in a free agent market. Did I have to uptick his pay? Absolutely. Do I think I get a contented and relaxed player because of it? I do, and I think there's something worth it to that. I do. I think there's value in having this guy now relaxed that the deal is done. Trey Young, listen, Trey Young is at $172 million. He goes up to $207 at Luka makes only by being an All-NBA, an All-Star, whatever the hell the Supermax deal is. He can still do that. You've got a motivated guy who's making $172 million because there's another, $35 million plus? By being an All-Star, by being an All-NBA guy. So I think Young is going to be motivated. I like the idea that I want Huerter to come back. I would love for them to run it back. I don't know Lou Williams' deal. You know, Lou Williams was looking for 2 or 3 years. They said, well, we can't play in that world. He did a one. Lou Williams is perfect for this team. Scott, I don't know who else is going to do what in the East and how much better other teams are going to get, but everything you saw tells me that the Hawks have a chance to be back to where they were this year. And I haven't said that about a lot of teams in this town.
Well, I got to run, Chris. Great stuff tonight. Phenomenal. Tim Anderson just hit a walk-off two-run homer, and the White Sox win the game 9-8. It's crazy. Thanks for coming on the bench.
All right, Scott.
That's the problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
All right, Perrell on the bench. At least I hit the bet. I bet on the White Sox to win the game, and they just did. They beat the Yankees 9-8. What an absolutely wild ninth inning. I mean, Judge hits a two-run bomb to make it 7-6, then Gallo walks, then Stanton hits a two-run shot to left. The Yankees take the lead 8-7, and then Zach effing Britton comes in and blows the game and gives up a walk to the catcher, and then gives up a two-run bomb to right field to Tim Anderson, who had a double. An RBI double and a two-run homer, a walk-off blast to right to win it 9-8. It was 9-8-1, 8-8-0. Hendricks got the win. He didn't deserve. He gave up 4 runs in the ninth. Liam Hendricks was terrible. He doesn't deserve the win, but he gets the win. They save his pathetic performance ass. And the White Sox win the game. I don't care what you say. When you're down 7-4 in the ninth and you hit 2 two-run home runs and take the lead 8-7, you got to win the effing game. I mean, you got to win that game. And they may never recover from that loss. I'm telling you, you got to win that game. You're down 7-4 and you hit 2 bombs and you get your 2 big money players step up and hit 2-run homers and you take the lead. I don't care if the game's in a field of corn. I don't care if it's at Yankee Stadium. I don't care if it's in Chicago. I don't care if it's in the playoffs. You got to win that game. And they blew it. Zach Britton sucks. He blew a game in Kansas City the other night.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.